are those who believe that life here began out there, far across the universe, with tribes of humans who may have been the forefathers of the Egyptians, or the Toltecs, or the Mayans. Some believe that there may yet be brothers of man who even now fight to survive somewhere beyond the heavens.
Hee hari ho, hari ha, hari ho di ho, ha, hari ho di ho, hee ha, hee ha, ho hum. Good morning, my friends. Good morning. That was a clip from the intro sequence of the 1970s TV sci-fi classic Battlestar Galactica. And of course, Battlestar Galactica was rebooted as BSG on the Sci-Fi Channel in the early 2000s. It was dark and dreary in early 2000s BSG. It wasn't all disco and fun and excitement. It wasn't the flashy Andy Warhol-style Xylons, no. It was the postmodern neo-feminist in-your-face, here's a little bit of an acid whiff from my Kiss Xylons. Yes, indeed, it is the Planetary Status Report, and it is your friend Dan. And I don't know if the Toltecs or the Mayans or the Egyptians had anything to do with this podcast. But you never know. You never know, but it is the Planetary Status Report with your friend Dan. And as of this recording on this MP3 file, it is Wednesday, Hump Day, April the 21st, the Dios de los Muertos to, 420. So if you can imagine the version of a Dios de los Muertos, like the day after Halloween. But it's the day after 420. It's the day after 420, people. What did you do yesterday, you silly pothead? Did you go to the pot store and buy your legally available THC-managed marijuana? Did you display your freedom by buying your fully taxed, fully regulated, fully crony marijuana? Of course, you got to pay 100% above black market prices, but hey, at least it's legal, right? If you're listening to this recording on shortwave radio, Keep in mind, it could be Saturday or Sunday night at around 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for you, or it could be Sunday, Monday morning at around, 3 a.m. UTC, because that's how the world of shortwave radio works. And if you are listening to this on the radio, on the shortwave radio, then you're probably listening to 5950 kilohertz out of, from WRMI out of Miami, Okeechobee, from the old Okeechobee with the smoky, gropey life. Yeah, from that place as something arises out of that dread swamp, brothers and sisters. One wonders what creepy things will crawl out of the swamps of Okeechobee when the day comes. One wonders what monster salamander will rise up out of the Great Salt Lake once Brigham Young returns to planet Earth as Robot Brigham Young 7000. Yes, sometime in the year 2023, Boblimp Doc, Brigham Young will arrive in Salt Lake City to summon forth the Great Salamander. He will be Robot Brigham Young with robot eyes and robot arms. But he will be also known as the Cyberman. Yeah. Could be that, folks. But if you are listening to WRMI out of Miami, Okeechobee on 5950 kilohertz, this is your good friend Dan, and this is the Planetary Status Report. If you're interested in contacting me with some funny story or question or insult, you can email me using my email address, which is me@iamsully.com. See how easy that is? And if you want to read notes related to this podcast broadcast, you can go to dfgtc.org/shownotes. That's D as in dog, fgtc.org/shownotes. Delta Foxtrot, Golf Tango Charlie .org/shownotes. And all the notes and all the messages, all the secret commands sent to my centurions on the battleship Illustra. The battleship Illustra, which is currently above our planet in a suborbital stationary position at 20 miles. Because the battleship Olestra is a super magnificent vacuum ship. Yes, a vacuum ship floating at 20 miles above the Earth. That's dreary. Fuck. Oh, I'm not supposed to say the F-bomb. But I think that one slipped through, Brother Astaire. And you know what? One or two have to slip through to make sure it's radio, right? Yeah. Anywho, me@iamsully.com. And other than that, if you're interested in other stuff related to this podcast broadcast, you can go to igloo-luau.com or, igloo-luau.com. And if you want to listen to other podcasts of mine, many of which contain many F-bombs, you can go to iamsully.com or dfgtc.org/mp3. And all the mp3 files are listed there. And you can download them all. And you can share them. Why not share them, brothers and sisters? And if you can donate and you want to donate and you want to support one mad crazy hobo in the desert, you can go to paypal.com/paypalme/Dr. Freckles. That's right. So why did I do that intro from Battlestar Galactica? Because if you notice, there's a lot of stuff about the Toltecs and the Mayans and the Egyptians. And they could have added, you know, in the Sumerians. And they could have probably mentioned, you know, the ancient Yellow River and Indus River civilizations, if it wasn't so racist, maybe even Bantu. If it wasn't so racist on Battlestar Galactica. But it, I don't know if you guys know this yet. You need to meditate on this, really think on what I'm about to say, especially if you've consumed any of the predictive programming sci-fi movie genre of the last 50 or 60 or 70 years. Listen to what I'm about to say. It's a little bit off the topic, but listen. Outer space is racist. I'm going to repeat that again. Outer space is extraordinarily racist. It was founded by Nazis in 1945. It was founded by Nazis and white Satanists and friends of L. Ron Hubbard. Friends, outer space, as we know it, was founded by friends, acquaintances of the founder of Scientology. So, of the many things we can say about outer space, yes, it's satanic and evil, probably, and filled with leeches that drain your brain. But one other thing about outer space is it's very racist. Have you seen Star Wars? Have you seen Battlestar Galactica, original show or reboot? There's tons of racist crap. There's lots of petty racist signaling, lots of tribal infighting. One of the foundational messages of outer space is if they don't look like you, blow them up. I mean, it really is one of the baseline messages of the universe. Oh, those aliens don't look like me, blow them up. But anywho, the Battlestar Galactica intro is kind of like, you know, some people believe that a blimp talk years ago, aliens from some other planet or universe, keep in mind, lots of people are spinning the multiverse grift these days. What's that, Lawrence guy? Anyways, there are lots of people spinning the multiverse grift or con these days, but there are people that believe, you know, that some time ago, millions, billions, thousands of years ago, aliens showed up from some place, another dimension, another planet, another universe, who knows? Right, Lawrence Krauss? Because it could have been a different universe, right, baby? That gets past all the mathematical improbability associated with genetic information. You know, it was another universe. Anyways, there are people that believe now because they can't believe in God. They can't believe in Jesus. It's too impossible. God is too impossible. Jesus is too impossible. Of course, putting a mask on your face for a virus that does not exist makes perfect sense. Or I should say, putting a coffee filter. Let's call things what they are. Putting a coffee filter on your face for a virus that does not exist, it does make about as much sense, doesn't it? As, you know, aliens created life. But clearly, believing in Jesus is crazy. We live in strange times, brothers and sisters. We do. You really got to think on this one. And the reason why I'm talking about Battlestar Galactica is because the only thing I really know for certain today, April the 21st, 2021, is what I pretty much figured out about 9 months ago. We are living through the biggest, most coordinated, probably most complicated, multi-layered psychological warfare operation in human history. There has never been a psychological warfare operation this deep, this extensive, this well-funded. I'll also tell you that unless perpetual motion machines exist, it can't last, okay? At a certain point, maybe it's 1 year, maybe it's 2 years, people start going crazy. That's what trauma-based mind control does. And you can say, Dan, well, maybe they'll let up and maybe they'll give us breathing space. And they might. I know that there's a particular troll on Twitter who's trying to talk about what's going on right now as a pause where we can recall people, recall local officials. But yeah, there are people that believe that. If there is a pause, brothers and sisters, it's because they don't control the schedule. All that tells you is that they don't control the schedule. And in a way, that's good news because it means they're really not in control. That's what I see. I see a lot of psychological warfare operations, a lot of reaction, and a lot of really low-rent psyops, like Dr. Seuss's Racist, for example, you know, Elliot, Ellen thing. I mean, this stuff is getting too dumb to even talk about, really, isn't it? Elliot Page, Ellen Page. The psyops are getting really low-rent and really stupid. That's it. And then there's the race war. I don't think that most people of color and most people that are white, whatever the heck that means, I don't think most people want to murder each other because of the color of their skin. I really don't. I think most people, even the cowardly middle, because there is a great gray cowardly middle, and we all need to admit that it exists. But even the great gray cowardly middle and most people simply want to live their lives. That's it. That's how complicated human history has to be. Let people live their lives. And in the process, they will do amazing things. But leave them alone. Leave the flowers alone to grow. Leave the butterfly to find its way out of the cocoon. Leave people alone. But that's not what's going to happen. So I brought up the Battlestar Galactica because I've got this nasty feeling, and it is a nasty feeling, that we're going to get a new psychological operation soon. And what if it's that whole blue beam alien thing? Think about it. Some people believe, some people believe that we came from other planets or universes. So what if in a couple months, you know, Battlestar Galactica shows up and Admiral Adama is, you know, some Antichrist type figure maybe. Maybe it is Tom Hanks' son. Maybe we find out that Tom Hanks' son is really an alien. And he marries Elliot Page. And then he gender transitions to female alien and becomes the Antichrist. Yeah, he gender transitions. I don't know. I don't know. I really don't know, but the whole alien thing is suspect to me. I am not a flat earther. If you're going to say, Dan, you're a flat earther. No, I'm not. I am basically a skeptic, and I'm a true skeptic, which means just because you put the word science on something doesn't mean it's true. The science itself is a method, and the method itself is either being used correctly or not. That's it. That's science in a nutshell. And what science discovers are facts about the world. And what science develops are theories about the world. And once in a while, scientists will take a theory and call it a law, because everybody agrees it exists and it's absolute. But every once in a while, even laws get overturned in the actual world of science. Laws get amended in the actual world of science. In the actual world of science, a quantum physicist might demonstrate phenomena that occur faster than the speed of light, even though Einstein's theories say that is impossible. But that happens in the world of science. That's how science, real science, actually works. Real science is not dogma, brothers and sisters. Real science is not a list of things you have to believe about the world. Real science is discovery. And that's why it is very different from religion. It is. It's not the same thing. And that's why I try not to mix my Christianity with my science, because with all due respect to both, they don't mix that well. They don't. They do and they don't. The science can help us understand the world, but I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, I do not believe I'll fully understand the world until I am dead. When I am dead, when I'm on the other side, I believe I'll have a view of the world, a proper view of the world. Right now, I get glimpses just like you. So let's say the aliens show up, and it happens in a couple weeks. And if they do, would that not be an interesting way of introducing the Antichrist? I mean, wouldn't it be? Wouldn't the Antichrist as a human-alien hybrid be the most interesting Antichrist? Because that would be the one plugged into the ancient alien stuff and all the sci-fi movie mythology and all the Spielberg, E.T. is so cute and so sexy. E.T. is a sexy Jeff Bridges. E.T. is a sexy Jeff Bridges with a soft, smoky jazz voice. E.T. is a sexy Jeff Bridges. He's a sexy Jeff Bridges. Yeah, so sexy Jeff Bridges, alien hybrid Antichrist, shows up. And he's about, whatever, 30-something years old, right? Because he has to be, according to certain prophecy. He has to be a certain age. And he shows up in June or July. And he gives a speech about the aliens and how we all came from aliens and how the Bible's mostly crap, but there's maybe a little bit of truth in it. And you know, he explains that Lucifer was really a good alien that came a long time ago, and that God was a bad alien that wanted to keep the truth from people. That's going to be basically the message. I'm sorry for oversimplifying, but that's going to be the message. God is a bad alien that didn't want Lucifer to tell people the truth. The Bible is kind of true, but it's mostly lies. And you know, guys, I think that the Pope, Pope Francis, is almost exactly the optimal John the Baptist for that kind of an Antichrist. The anti-John the Baptist would be Pope Francis. And Tom Hanks would be there with him, and Bill Gates, and Mel Gates. No, I'm sorry, Merle. Merle Gates. Melinda. No, Merle. Not Melinda Gates, Merle. The Bill and Merle Gates Foundation. The Bill and Merle Gates Foundation. The Bill and Merle Gates Foundation, and they hold a big feat, a big celebration in Rome. It would have to be Rome, wouldn't it? Maybe prophecy says someplace else. Maybe it needs to be someplace else. But for dramatic purposes, I could imagine Pope Francis coronating. The coronation of the Antichrist, the alien human hybrid, will be in Rome. And Pope Francis, as the anti-John the Baptist, will put the crown upon the head of the Antichrist. And there you have it, flammobammo. I know that's crazy. I will move on to the next topic because I know that's crazy. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. If you want to go extinct, hire a government. What does that mean exactly? I'm going to read an article and we can talk about the article after. This article can be found at the show notes, if you're listening to this on shortwave, WRMI 5950 kilohertz, the show notes are dfgtc.com dfgtc.org/show notes. That's DF, D as in dog, FGTC.org/show notes. And you can find the link for the article I'm about to read. And the article was published on March 25th, 2021, and the headline is Investigation, colon, 7-month-long chain of failure led to 9 killed in AAV sinking. And this is written by Gidget Fuentes. And I read on. The July drowning deaths of 8 Marines and a sailor who sank with their amphibious assault vehicle off of California Island were the result of poor training a vehicle in, I quote, horrible condition and elapsed safety procedures in a rush to deploy an operational AAV platoon, according to a command investigation of the incident reviewed this week by USNI News. The deadly events of July 30, 2020 marked the end of a chain of failure that began 7 months before, when an AAV platoon belonging to 3rd Amphibian Assault Battalion at Camp Pendleton, California, received inoperable amphibious vehicles just a few months before they joined the 15th Marine Expeditionary Unit to train for an overseas deployment, according to the senior investigator. I'm going to stop right here, brothers and sisters. If you want to read about this incident involving jarheads, you read on. With all due respect to people that die, and we should be respectful, if you want to read more about what happened to these Marines, and it is sad, you can read for yourself. But why did I read that snippet? If you are a voter, a Democrat, or a Republican, you will not understand what I'm about to say. You should probably just turn your head off because you won't understand. But if you believe in human freedom and human liberty and human dignity, if you're a voluntarist or an anarchist or an agorist or ANCAP or anybody at least in line with human liberty, the basic question you have to ask, the simplest question you should always ask is, what exactly do you think the government is good at? What exactly do you think they're good at? I mean, I get that they are scary because they've taken a lot of power, and I get that a lot of sociopaths work for them. But other than incompetence and pain and failure, what is the government really good at? Because here's the thing. It does a lot of stuff we don't need. We do not need to be able to blow cities off the face of the earth. I know that's crazy. You're going to say, Dan, that's crazy. If we can't blow cities off the face of the earth, someone else will blow our cities away. That is the theory. I don't think that theory actually works the way you think it does. But what I can tell you is this. In a free world, if this were a free world, which it isn't, ordinary people need customers to conduct business. Keep it simple, stupid. People need customers to conduct business. Business people do not want to build devices to destroy billions of customers. That's called stupid. So the government does a lot of stuff. But the first question you should probably ask is, what stuff does it do that you actually need? Do you need the government to arrest potheads? Do you? Do you need the government to pull cars over? I got a little bit of cotton mouth here. Do you need the government to pull a car over for you and steal a person's cash? Do you need that? Is that a... Yeah. Is that a quote-unquote useful function of government? That the government pulls random cars over, and if a person has cash in the car and they don't have some receipt or paper that says where it came from, that police officer, that government should be able to take the cash. Is that a function of life you need? Do you need to have your guns registered? Are your guns safer because they're on a government list? Are they really? Do you need government to manage weed and alcohol and cigarettes? Do you really need those things? So the first question we should always ask vis-a-vis government is, what does it do that you actually need? And when you get done answering that question, a rational person ends up with a very, very short list. Very short list. And managing roads is not on the list, guys. Rational people, actual rational minarchists and libertarians, if you ask them, what does the government do that you actually need it to do? They might say things like, well, I think we do need to have laws, or I should say, there are crimes that have victims, so we should have cops that deal with crimes that have victims. And as an anarchist, even though I know that's foolhardy and it goes down the road of feeding the crocodile, I understand it, I get it. But even if you do that, if all you say is, what is the list is not that long. And then the next question you should ask is this, of the things left on that list, does government really do any of them very well? Do they? Like, let's say one of your arguments is, well, Dan, if we don't have a government, we won't have a national defense system, ergo, other countries will invade us. Well, number one, I was in the military, and I actually think a free country would defend America way better than this two-bit tyranny. This two-bit tyranny is expensive and a carnival and a clown show. And if you think the story of these Marines is random, you are a fool, okay? You are a fool. If you think the story of a few Marines getting killed is random, in the 1950s, your government marched hundreds of Marines through the ground zero of an exploded nuclear weapon in the desert. Okay? Minutes after it went off, all those materials were highly toxic, highly radioactive. Most of those Marines were going to die of cancer or radiation poisoning. That is your government. That is your national defense. Tell me again what it is they do well. They don't do that well. The war on terror, is that an example? Well, A, I think it's a manufactured war, and B, as manufactured wars go, it's a gigantic failure. Mainly because it's evil, but also because it's being fought by an incompetent group of idiots. Idiots, oxy freaks, cokeheads, pedophiles, low-grade morons and alcoholics. That is the upper echelon of the Department of Defense, brothers and sisters. So once you ask the question, what do you really need the government to do? And then you ask the question, what does it do well? You end up with one answer and one number, and that's zero. Zero. There is nothing the government does that it does well. There is nothing the government that There's nothing you'd want them to do that they can do well. The only rational answer is what Churchill once said. Democracy is the worst form of government excepting all others. What does that mean logically? This is what it means. This is what Churchill said. Democracy sucks. All other forms of government suck more. Basically, if you want to simplify that set of statements in some rational, logical way, you could simplify and say Churchill once said, government sucks. Yeah. Anywho, if you want to go extinct, hire a government. But no, even when it comes to things like war and the police force, it doesn't really do those things very well. It doesn't. The track record for both is a giant question mark. Okay, there is no good example in history of government doing law enforcement or warfare or defense in any rational way. And if you're a crazy person and you're about to say, well, Dan, what about money? Don't we have a government? Don't we need a government to have money? Well, if you want to have a crooked central bank, then you definitely need an army. You do. And you need cops. You need cops to kick people out of homes. You need cops to beat people up. If you want to have a Federal Reserve, then it is true. You need cops to beat people up, and you need an army to go around kicking ass. Thank you. Oh, I have a little bit of the cotton mouth today. I don't know if it's the Utah dry voice or the Rocky Mountain brain chlamydia. There are many disorders that float around Utah and Colorado. Most of them are sexually transmitted diseases. This was once the hooker paradise of the New World, Old World. This was once the center of the Dark Fountain, one of the best strip clubs in the 17th century. All of the beaver traders went to that place, that strip club. All of the beaver traders. Anywho, next topic. So, I don't have a ton of time left, about 20 minutes, and the next topic is pretty big, but I'm going to dive into it with aplomb, as they say. And it has to do with a hypothetical. And it's a hypothetical because if I talk about it in any way other than a hypothetical or as a fictional thing, I believe it puts me into a, well, whatever, a danger zone. I don't want to get there. I don't want to put you there. But I'm going to talk about the possibility that you, as a member of your community, might have to work with others to defend yourself against mass poisoning and adrenal fatigue. Which is to say that this PSYOP is killing people, okay? I don't care if you think the COVID is real. The PSYOP is killing people. Okay, it's killing people. It's giving people heart attacks, diabetes, cancer. The PSYOP itself, by itself, is killing people. So if you've come to the realization that they want you dead and the vaccine thing is the last straw, then I don't think it's completely insane to ask the following question: how do I respond to this? Because one way to respond is to simply die. That is one response. I know people, I have friends who are Christians who would make the argument that one response to this evil is to just turn the other cheek and to simply die. And I am going to say before God and man, I respect that choice as long as you don't put other people in jeopardy. If you decide to fight against this thing in a deliberate way, to do so, to make your choice and to be exposed to the power of evil and ultimately be destroyed by evil, that is your choice. Other people are going to make different choices. For the people that choose to not be martyrs, I want to have a conversation about urban guerrilla operations. First thing you need to know, at least right now, rule of law may never have existed. But if after 2020 you still believe rule of law exists, you're crazy. So you need to throw that thought out the window. It's not about rule of law. It's about not being caught by the crocodile. It's about not having the crocodile pull you over. It's about not being stupid. Okay? One of the first things you need to do if you're serious about being an urban gorilla is get rid of any form of communication you currently own that you bought at a store, that you bought online, that you bought through a third party. If you didn't manufacture the CPU and it's a computer, you need to disconnect it from the internet. I'm not saying you can't run Linux on a computer safely off the web, but the bottom line is this. If you didn't make the CPU, you really don't own that computer. And the deep state controls every single CPU that is made in this world. If you don't believe me, research it yourself. So if you're serious about being an urban gorilla, the first thing you need to do is ditch your technology that you bought from the man, so to speak. And if you have to research subjects, well, Dan, I need to learn stuff. Well, if you need to learn stuff, use someone else's computer, preferably not a friend or a family member. In fact, ideally, use the computers of your enemy. You know, figure out a way to get yourself a random library card, access to a computer at the library. Who knows? There's different ways. If you have to research on the internet, don't use any devices connected to you. Believe it or not, just researching a topic like how to make a pipe bomb is going to put you probably on a list, and you might even get a visit. Next thing is this, interrogations. Interrogations are critical, okay? In fact, most of this conversation is going to deal with that, and I'll tell you why. Because interrogations, if done correctly, are one of the most powerful tools of an urban gorilla. But in order to do it, you have to have a safe location for the interrogation. You have to have people you trust to grab your subject. And you need to do your research. You need to be sure that your subject is the enemy. You don't want to grab innocent people, and this is where life gets complicated. But I was hanging around the BLM commies last summer. I could spot the operators, and I'm a rusty old burned out middle-aged computer programmer. So I'm certain that some of you young bucks who have more experience in the world of military intelligence, you can spot operators. Spot your operator, grab your operator, but do your research first. One reason for doing your research is to find pressure points. Interrogations are usually successful if you can find pressure points. You don't find pressure points with random people. So, if you're going to do an interrogation, do your research. Another thing, too, if you are living in the Capitol Hill area of Seattle this summer, I highly recommend doing your filming and your picture taking between 6 a.m. and 10 a.m. Why? Because the robots are sleeping at that time. If you've seen the movie Westworld, the BLM Antifa stuff is about that real, okay? And like the robots, the actors, they go to sleep. They get done drinking and screwing and doing meth around 3 a.m., and they're usually asleep until noon. So the people you see out between 6 and 10 a.m. in Capitol Hill, Seattle, in the Chop Chaz this summer, those are the operators. Those are City of Seattle employees. Those are fire department personnel. Okay? Those are feds, FBI, CIA. Take your cameras out between 6 and 10 a.m. Take your pictures then. If you're going to take your pictures when the show is going on, when the rubber cones are flying, you're too late. Okay? They already put the bricks out for people to pick up. What you want to do is take pictures of people delivering the bricks. Be serious about your interrogations, brothers and sisters. If you're going to interrogate somebody, don't joke around. If you joke around, your interrogation will fail. You need to record all your interrogations. You do. You need to record them. And you need to be able to edit them in such a way that you're able to take out the garbage without it looking like you faked it. But the bottom line is, you need to record your interrogations. Ideally, record them raw, do not edit, put them up on the internet, hand out USB drives, get the info out quickly if it's worth seeing. Common pressure points for people are real things, okay? Men and women are both susceptible to pressure that deals with things that are related to just, you know, their looks, for example, to their youth, to their age, to their vanity, basically. Vanity and ego are some of the most powerful pressure points in an interrogation. An interrogation is not an interview. Interviews are back and forth. You never want to lose control of an interrogation. Threatening certain forms of physical harm and horror can be highly useful. If you ever actually have to do something to somebody as an interrogator, you failed. The best interrogations, the subject is never injured, the subject is never tortured, but they might think they're going to be. The subject isn't even waterboarded, but they might believe they're going to be. Another thing too, you might be able to turn somebody. You might be able to turn a Fed. You might be able to bribe a Fed. If you are an urban guerrilla and you capture a Fed and you've done your research, one of their pressure points might be money, and you might have access to resources. You might have access to Bitcoin. As good as an interrogation of a Fed is a Fed you've turned, is a Fed that is now your person on the inside. These are crooked people, brothers and sisters, and they have bills. I'm going to repeat this statement because a lot of folks make them out to be superheroes, and they are not. These feds, these FBI, CIA, military intelligence freaks, they're crooked. They're people. They have weaknesses. Do your research and find them if you can. By the way, if you watch cop movies and war movies, the reason why they're all made out to be superheroes is so you'll believe they are. Okay? That is also propaganda. First rule of interrogation is also the first rule of combat. Let your subject do the work. If you spend all the time talking, you are failing. Some of the most powerful interrogation techniques, the interrogators never say more than 10 words, and they get their subject to spill the beans. That is the art of interrogation. Now, off the topic of interrogation, cities have access panels. Cities have access panels. Modern cities have access panels to get at all kinds of stuff. Electricity, communications, you name it. And these access panels are really not guarded, not really protected with an alarm system. And in general, the locks on them are pretty crappy, which means that a reasonably intelligent person with an arc welder can get into an access panel. Once you're into an access panel, you can cause a lot of problems, but one of the most interesting things you can do is you can put a man-in-the-middle attack in the access panel. One way of breaking the system is gathering intelligence on your enemies, and the best hack you can ever achieve is a man-in-the-middle hack right into the comm stream. Because you're not just going to pick up one conversation. You're going to pick up all of them for that neighborhood. All of them. Everything that goes across that fiber wire, everything that goes across that wire, period, you'll pick up. So yes, access panels, they're weaknesses. You can get the electricity to go fluky. You can even shut it off. And all that is accessible through the access panel. You should recon your city. You'll find access panels everywhere. Very convenient for city workers. And city workers are kind of lazy, so think about that when you think about the access panels. And I didn't go over the whole list, but the one thing I would mention last before we go to the next topic. The last thing I would mention is that this neo-Stalinist hellhole we find ourselves in, it's not that stable. I know that they want to convince you that there's this powerful super future where the, I don't know, Illuminati have built hyper robots and whatnot. But the shit, the crap, the fecal matter is caked pretty deep on the sidewalks of that great tech globalist super city, Seattle. And they have a hard time making their metro bus signs work and other basic things work. Like, they have a hard time making basic stuff work in Seattle. So, and it's a super city, right? It's a high-tech super city. So a lot of people want to believe, well, Dan, you know, it's unstoppable. Not only is that false, not only is that propaganda, but our society is so fragile. I am surprised every day that I wake up that I don't see pillars of smoke everywhere. If anything, we are in a super stable and highly fragile state, and who knows what tiny pin is going to pop it, what tiny little flaw is going to cause the problem. Who knows what crack is going to go, but it's going to happen. So if you find yourself as an urban guerrilla fighting for your family, fighting for your freedom, fighting against mass poisoners like Bill Gates, if you find yourself fighting for basic human rights, one thing you should keep in mind. The United States is not Germany in 1933 or the Soviet Union in 1933. It's way closer to Berlin, 1945, to the Western Roman Empire, 410, to the Soviet Union, 1993. Get it? There's no juice to do the crap they're threatening. So if you have to defend yourself, you should know one hopeful thing. It takes 7 fat cops about 20 minutes to steal one kid's bike if you believe the latest iPhone shot video. It takes about 7 fat cops to steal one kid's bike. Folks, I like those numbers. If you've studied guerrilla warfare, you should love those numbers. Next topic. Next topic. Enough urban guerrilla stuff. Oh, snow day. So, I've used the metaphor snow day to talk about the great mind screw. I can't use the F-bomb too much. I've used the phrase snow day to describe what's been going on for the last year. And when snow day first kicked in March of 2020, I remember telling my friend Jim, I do not see how this can last more than 90 days. And one of my main reasons was, is I kind of felt things would start falling apart. And I was wrong there. It's in terms of keeping the American crap show going, they've kept it going. I'll admit, they've kept it going. I think you can smell the smoke. I think an intelligent person can see that the engine has thrown a rod, but they have kept this jalopy going. So you have to kind of, you know, say congrats for that, right? But I didn't think they could keep it going much more than 90 days. And then even after the election, I had a basic theory that it would be possible there would be some kind of re-normalization, which, again, I don't really believe was going to happen, but it was possible. If it had only lasted 90 days, if in June or July of 2020, they had begun, quote-unquote, normalizing the end of the pandemic, if it had only lasted until June or July, I would have said it was just a great robbery. That's all. That's it. It was a great robbery. It was the biggest robbery in human history, but that's all it was. And if snow day had ended after the election, I would have said, okay, maybe this is some type of New World Order globalist crapola thingy, but in reality, there's no way it can really work, so I would have said, okay, it's over. And some people are looking at right now what's going on in the media, and I know there's at least one guy on Twitter who's spreading this story, and they're looking at things that are going on. They're saying to themselves, well, Dan, you know, it looks like snow day is finally ending. I don't think snow day is ending. I don't think snow day is over. I think snow day continues. It's possible that they're winding down the COVID for a short period of time because it's also possible that they're winding back up the race war. And yeah, so it's possible that we're in the race war phase again. It is. That's the situation we find ourselves in, that the COVID is getting turned down a little, not really much, you know, a little. And now it's time for the race war. The only things I see in all this is what I've said before. I see psychological manipulation. I see desperation. I see trauma. If they're telling people to do things that are injurious, uncontroversial injurious things, like put on two masks, that's uncontroversial. If you want to argue that one mask isn't going to hurt you so bad, fine, crazy person. But if they're telling you to wear two, they want you to die. If they're showing you pictures of people swimming with masks on, they want you to die. They want your kids to die. That's what we know now. We don't know how many of you or me they want to die. But we clearly know they want some of us to. And they also want us scared. All these vaccine injury videos, brothers and sisters, if they didn't want us to see it, we wouldn't see it. Just like they show us, for example, the dancing nurses. They show us the stuff they want us to see. That's kind of the key point here. So if you're seeing the dancing nurses, if you're seeing seven or eight cops beating up a kid and stealing his bike, it's because they want you to be afraid. If you see a bunch of Black Lives Matter freaks chasing down a truck in the street, they want you to be afraid. They don't want you to leave your home. Okay, they just don't. They want you afraid of things that aren't there. The only thing all these things have in common, the Chinese murder hornets, the magical COVID, the commie mobs, the only thing these things have in common is that they're outside your door. So in addition to this being a gigantic psychological warfare operation, it's clear that they don't really want most of us leaving our homes at this point. And they want us to just kind of die. So you tell me what that means. After 3 months of this nonsense, I would have said, yes, there's a good chance. It's just the great financial crisis, part two, super duper robbery, blah, blah, blah. Your pension and your retirement fund are gone. By the way, they are. That's baked into the cake. I don't care how big the stock market looks right now or how high you think Bitcoin is going to go. Okay, if you have a Bitcoin worth $1 million in a year or two, I think $1 million is probably, maybe, it might buy you a cup of coffee. Maybe. It might buy you a cup of coffee. So that's where we're at in the game right now. In terms of this, is I really don't know why they're doing it. Like I could have had a good theory a year ago about a situation if it had ended. But since it's not ending, since there doesn't appear to be any rational exit strategy from the great PSYOP, I just don't know what this means, my friends. I don't. It could mean, and let's just get this out of the way as we have before, it could mean if you're a Christian, if you study eschatology, it could mean the end times. I know this. I know this not because I'm an expert on the Bible, but because I do believe in God and I do believe in prophecy. So I must at least accept the possibility that what we're seeing, these signs, these are signs related to eschatology. That is a possibility. It's also possible that there is something that they just don't want us to prepare for, that there is something they don't want us to know about, that there is something coming that is so horrible that if they told us the truth about it, their baseline theory is we would go crazy. Because that's what it looks like. It looks like a lot of busy work. It looks like, on a global scale, a lot of psyops designed to keep people crazy and busy and basically looking the wrong way. You have been listening to the Planetary Status Report. We are a podcast that is online, but you can also listen to us from WRMI. On WRMI out of Miami, Miami Okeechobee, from the great Okeechobee, the beast, the monster raises its weary head. 5950 kilohertz, Saturday, Sunday night, 11 p.m. EST, Sunday, Monday morning, 3 a.m. UTC, which is really the same times, but brothers and sisters, we live on a spinning orb, and no one really knows where this orb is headed, but some people say the Toltecs knew. Some people say the Toltecs knew. Some people say the Mayans and the Toltecs knew something that others didn't know. They knew something special. Some people say the ancient Toltecs who divined the ancient truths from the ancient papers knew one thing for certain. Happy hump day, brothers and sisters.